Welcome back to the download here on WGN Radio. I'm Justin Kaufman. Well, Northwestern Wildcat basketball can be heard here on WGN 720. And if you're a listener, then you know my next guest voice. And if you're a Chicago basketball fan in general, then everybody knows my guest tonight at the big table, Coach Joey Meyer. Meyer spent almost 30 years with a DePaul basketball program, including a 13-year stint as the head coach. You may remember Dallas Comegys, Rod Strickland, and the rest of the Blue Demon teams that entertained us thoroughly through the 1980s. Meyer was fired in 1997, but he went on to do play-by-play and commentary for this station, but also had a successful run in the ABA as coach of the Chicago Skyliners. And he spent about a decade in the NBA Development League, winning two championships, and now currently is in the Wildcat broadcast booth and also regional scout for the Los Angeles Clippers. Joey Meyer, welcome to the download. Good to see you.
Good to see you. Thanks for having me.
It's a pleasure to have you here. And then we get to hear you constantly here on WGN. What's it like being back in the booth for the Wildcats?
You know, it's a lot of fun. I like the people at Northwestern, and obviously Dave Ennett. You know, he's a true professional and so detailed, so organized. It's a real pleasure. I enjoy it because the best thing about it is when the game's over, I go home and eat. I don't go home and sweat and worry about wins and losses.
You don't
losses.
Have to give motivational speeches to the kids.
Although I got to admit, I am very much invested in Chris Collins and this team. I got to admit, I get a little too nervous.
For you as a broadcaster, I mean, how hard is it to sort of go back and forth in your career as coach and broadcaster?
You know, it's really not that hard. It's basketball. You stay involved. There's just different aspects of it. I really like when there's close games at the end and you have time to say, this is what I'd be doing in this huddle. This is what I'd be doing in that huddle. To me, I really enjoy that aspect of it. Just analyzing the game is fun for me.
You spent your entire life in basketball. I mean, is there a point where, you know, when you're on the broadcast booth in a cold December game where you're just like, not another basketball game?
You know, not really. I really enjoy the hardest part for me right now is I do the regional stuff for the Clippers is driving home after a 9 o'clock game from Madison, Wisconsin. I'm like, ooh, you know, you're getting home at 1 o'clock or one of the wonderful charters in Northwestern when the pilot doesn't show up and you get home at about 4 o'clock. It kind of reminds me of my D-League days when you got home at 6 in the morning. But that part I don't like very much. But the game itself, no, I really enjoy it. You know, I can find something interesting in every game.
You know, the real special right now in Chicago is, I mean, we're only in January, the beginning of January, but there's a lot of talk about the Northwestern Wildcats and the idea that this could be the year that they break their drought with the NCAA tournament. They've looked pretty good, but, you know, here comes the hard stretch, the Big Ten lineup, which is always formidable. What do you think of the team that you've seen so far?
They're really well coached. In boxing, they say have puncher's chance. They have a shooter's chance. They got a lot of three-point shooters, and they got an excellent point guard, McIntosh. They really miss the big fella, Alex Ola, being out. That presence inside, he needs to get back soon because of the big bodies, and they found that out against Maryland. They have so many big bodies.
It's hard. I mean, Maryland, one of the best teams in the nation. Everyone's looking at them as the number one seed and to possibly be the favorite in the tournament. But they played respectable. I mean, they were there. Even without that body in the middle, they were there.
The problem is if you let those kind of teams get in a roll, that's what happened. Maryland got in a roll playing confident. But I tell you, the one thing I've found at Northwestern, boy, they compete. You know, you look at the game and they were down, whatever, was it 18 or something? And I can tell everybody's like, this game's over with. But
I know
better because this team really competes. They got a lot of heart. I really enjoy being around a team that competes as hard as they do.
Is it hard as a coach to not, you know, during the timeout, grab one of the kids and be like, box out? What are you doing?
You know, I really don't have that urge. Because I know Chris Collins probably knows a lot more than me. Those days have passed for me. And he has a great staff, too, you know. Brian James being a former NBA assistant really helps him in NBA out-of-bounds plays and things. So they have a young, experienced staff. And so I can sit back and maybe a little second-guessing. You know, you always got to do a little bit of that.
Let me ask you, you know, as a coach, do you prefer the idea of being attached to one squad? Like in this case, you're doing color for one squad. Or do you prefer as a scout being able to go to different places and see different teams play in different arenas?
Well, you hit on it. I have both worlds because I'm doing Northwestern. I have a real tie. I like the school. I like what they stand for. I like what they do, how they coach. and I get to go see a lot of good games, you know. So I'll be at Michigan-Purdue this week, and, you know, so you see another aspect, you know, great atmosphere. Big Ten, they have great atmospheres. My goodness, the home crowd is probably the biggest advantage of any conference. So you get excited in the game. You know, I may be a coach, but I still got that fan in me when the crowd gets going. That's a lot of fun. So you see that. Then you come back and get on a plane and go to Minnesota, I guess it is this week, and get all excited for Northwestern to see if they can get a win on the road.
Coach Joey Meyer, my guest tonight at the big table. Let's take a break. When we come back, I want to talk to you about your career at DePaul. Storied career, 13 years as a head coach. I mean, you played. A lot of people don't know that you were actually on the floor as a Blue Demon. When we come back, we'll talk more with Coach Meyer here on The Download. Stay with us. Welcome back to The Download here on WGN. My guest tonight at The Download's big table is Coach Joey Meyer, a longtime Chicago basketball great, 13 years as a head coach, 30 years as part of the DePaul Blue Demons, I guess, family. You know, that's really what it is. Now doing color commentary alongside Dave Ennett for the Northwestern Wildcat basketball games here on WGN. Coach Meyer, let's start at what do you remember about playing for the Blue Demons? You played for your dad.
Well, I like to say this. My dad coached 42 years. His worst one-loss record was the senior captain. So I usually try to forget about those playing days. I always tease my son. I say, I scored a lot of points, but we didn't win many games. And, you know, really, when I used to talk to my teams, I'd say, you know what? Scoring points doesn't mean a whole lot. I went through that, scoring a lot of points and not winning any games. It's not a lot of fun. And we weren't very good. So I said I was a much better assistant coach for my dad than I was a player for
him. Did you know? I mean, when you were a player and you were going through and you're playing for your dad, did you know that there was going to be a hit, like a future in coaching?
You know, that is really kind of interesting. When I first got out, I was a grad assistant, and I was really going on into education, and I was going to get my master's. I wanted to be a teacher. And no idea I was going to coach to help pay for the education. I was the freshman coach. We lost our first game and then won 24 straight, and I was hooked. From then on, I was a basketball coach in my mind. I really enjoyed it. It was a lot of fun, but I really had no intentions of doing it when I first. And my mom, she always wanted a lawyer in the family. I never made it. My younger brother did.
Was it intimidating? Was it tough? Was it easy being an assistant on your dad's squad?
Playing for him was hard. You know, the guys in the room, they want to criticize the coach, but that's your father. So I think it was hard for me. I think it was hard for him. Being his assistant was great. I mean, he allowed me to have freedom. He had confidence in me. We had a great relationship. Of all the things I did, play, assistant, succeed, I enjoyed my relationship as the assistant coach by far the most.
Well, those teams, you know, the big teams of DePaul Blue Demon lore, the late 70s teams that had, you know, Terry Cummings or Mark Aguirre, they live in infamy. They live in Chicago basketball, you know, legend. And you were part of those teams and your family was. What do you remember most about being on the sideline or being a part of a team that had that much juice?
You know, we didn't know how big we were until it was over. You know, we went to the Final Four. You're caught up in the moment. We were a small school under the L tracks. You know, we didn't know what was going on. We didn't know how big it was at that time. But it was fun because my dad, he just enjoyed it. I've never seen a coach that enjoyed signing autographs, meeting people. He did every interview. Have you ever seen a coach do every interview? I don't care where he was, what time he was. He would do every interview. He enjoyed it so much that you enjoyed it. But I was a stress guy in the staff, I got to admit. I was a little more nervous than Coach was during the games, and he gave me a lot of freedom. It was fun.
What did you take away from that? I mean, the idea of being on the big stage like that, even before you were head coach, the concept of going all the way to a Final Four.
Well, it was a great experience, unbelievable. One, I think when you win and you're not supposed to, it's so much more fun. When I was head coach, we were the 12th seed. We beat a 5th seed. But I also was a 5th seed and lost to the 12th seed. And I know the pressure of you're supposed to win as opposed to we're going in there. And I think you're more apt to try things when you're not supposed to win. And it was just, I mean, it was amazing that year. I can't believe how big Coach Ray was from year 65, when he's 65 to 70. He was so large, it was amazing.
What did you take? I mean, when you took over the reins and you became the head coach at DePaul, what did you take with you from your dad? What did you learn about coaching college basketball from Coach Meyer?
I think the most important, and people will be really surprised, competitiveness. Coach Ray, Mr. Nice Guy, oh, Lord, you get him on the practice floor. And with the referee, he was a tough man. He was hard-nosed and competed like crazy. He wanted to win. Now, he could leave it when it was over, but he was a fierce competitor. And the other thing is, being a coach was being more than just coaching the team. I thought Coach did a tremendous job with the media, with the fans. Now, I could never live up to that, but I understood what it was like to be around a man that was just tremendous with everybody, had a big heart.
Yeah, he was larger than life. I mean, he was known as Mr. College Basketball here in town. Did you feel a lot of pressure having to take over when he retired?
I don't think you'll beat the understatement on that one. That might be the understatement of the interview. I guarantee that will be. Yeah, I felt a lot. I mean, my dad.
But you were part of his team, so it wasn't like you were just coming in and just going to be a new system. I mean, everybody knew who you were.
Coach Ray did a TV show about my team, wrote a column about my team, did the radio about my team. But what are you supposed to do? Say, hey, Coach, disappear? I thought it was hard on him. You know, I didn't think about how hard it was on him. But afterward, for years, I realized that was really hard on him. I could think if my son was coach, oh, my Lord, I'd be basket case. So it was hard on both of us.
And he was, yeah, you're right. He had a big media presence during your teams, during the runs of the 80s.
Yeah, he had a large, large media presence. And it was hard. And when I first took over, the players would walk into Coach Ray and say, Coach, what do you think? You know, and so now they're getting two different views. It was hard. And what does he say? You know, the man's got 42 years of experience. Tune him out. And he loved talking with the players. So it was a little more difficult than I thought it was going to be.
How did you deal with that? I mean, how did you, as the new coach of the Blue Demons, you know, put your stamp on the team?
Think about going someplace else. That was about really, you know, it was really strange. My first year, we struggled, made the tournament. My second year, we're having a shaky year, and crowds starting to get on me. And we sneak in the tournament. We go to the Sweet 16.
That's right.
The next year, we're 27-3, one in the country. We having this, and now they're saying he's a better coach than his father. And I'm going, oh, you guys have no clue. You know, I mean, come on now. I mean, before I was the dumbest guy in the world, we win a couple games, and now I'm smarter than coach. So, you know, people, when coaches say they don't listen to the media, they're BSing you. You hear it. If you're not reading the paper, somebody's telling you about it. If you talk about an interview, and it gets back to the coach. Right. They hear all that. It's not an easy thing to deal with. Probably as I got older and more experience, I probably dealt with it.
And there was a lot of that. I remember being the teenager at the time, but I remember a lot of sort of you having to live outside your father's shadow. Like that was a big storyline in Chicago media about, can Joey be as good as a coach as his dad?
When I went at first year, we had a press conference every road game. And the first question in every road game was, how are you different than your father? Or second one would be, what'd your father say about that? I'm like, oh, my goodness, this is getting old. But, you know, I learned to live with it, and I enjoyed coaching. And, I had confidence I was doing a good job, but you got to admit, it was shaking a little bit.
What was your relationship like with your dad at that time? Was he aware that was hanging over this?
I think he was aware of it. It was funny. Growing up, my dad was not the communicator. My mom was the communicator. So if I wanted to find out what my dad was thinking, I talked to my mom. And then she talked to my dad. And so it was like a circle to find out. So I used to call my mom the great communicator. She would, you know, your dad's upset with you. I go, he is? What's he upset about now? You know? And so
it's like every family, right?
And then when he would have troubles with things or something like that, my mom would tell me, you need to go in and talk to your father. I said, Mom, I'm struggling with my own team here. But, you know, that was the relationship. But I think every father-son goes through that kind of thing. We just lived it out a little bit more visible than most.
Well, let's take a break. Let's get a break to get to the news here. We're talking with Coach Joey Meyer, who does the broadcast for the Northwestern Wildcats here on WGN, but also longtime head coach for the Blue Demons here in Chicago. Spent 30 years with that. And I earlier kind of jumped around the word family, but it really was family. I mean, they what was it? It was Ray Meyer and Sons was the Ray Meyer and Son was the name of the business of the DePaul Blue Demons back then. We come back. Let's talk about, you know, the end of that tenure, and also talk about your foray into continuing to coach, but at the D League level, the American Basketball Association, and the work you do now for the Clippers. When we come back with Coach Joey Meyer here on the Download, stay with us. More to come with Joey Meyer. Coach Joey Meyer here on the Download. He'll, you know, it's to me, I think of those days, man. I think of that to be college basketball. Dallas Comegys, Rod Strickland, Stanley Brundy. Who was the big, was it Terry Green? He's kind of like I say big, he's a little chubbier guy, but he can hit the three. Kevin Edwards, who played in the NBA for years. He was on the Timberwolves for years. I remember always choosing Kevin Edwards as the guy in Madden, or not Madden, NBA 2K or whatever it is in Sega Genesis. I'd trade to have him on my team because he played on the Blue Demons. It's ridiculous. And before that, the teams we just talked about, Terry Cummings, Mark Aguirre, some amazing players that came through the DePaul Blue Demon program.
Yeah.
Here in Chicago. Coming up in the 9 o'clock hour, we're going to talk with Ian Belknap and Lindsay Moscato. They're the brains behind Right Club. You said Right Club's one of the best shows. Have you seen Right Club, Pete?
Yeah.
That's a great show. The Hideout, essentially two writers, two different opposing ideas. One writer enters, two writers enter, one writer leaves.
Yeah.
I still think that, I mean, it's sort of like the audience votes on it, the winner, they give money to charity, blah, blah, blah. But I really do think they should end that with, like, a physical fight. I think the two writers, when they're done and there's a win, but then they should go in the back, almost like Fight Club, that's what they're playing off of, and they should beat each other till the end. That's just my, you know, no one listens to me. That's just the thing, but.
Bring that up.
I will. I'll bring it up to them. I think that they're receptive as writers in Chicago. We'll talk with them about not only the show, but their New Year's resolutions, which they put all over Facebook yesterday. And also, we're going to have a good conversation about Syrian refugees. Two nuns in the Chicago area have taken in Syrian families, refugee families. And we'll talk about a fundraiser they have coming up here this weekend to raise awareness and funds for Syrian refugees here in the Midwest. So we'll talk with them coming up. Welcome back to the Download here on WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman. My guest tonight at the big table, Coach Joey Meyer. Joey Meyer, of course, the color commentator for the Northwestern Wildcats broadcast here on WGN. He's also a regional scout for the Los Angeles Clippers. He's my guest tonight. You know, we left the conversation talking about how you dealt with that team, but those teams of the 80s, Pete and I were just talking about it before the interview, were so electric. I mean, the game to get to the Sweet 16 against St. John's where Strickland hit the course of action where the free throw and the bounce off. You guys, I mean, you were on the cover of Sports Illustrated, it felt like, at that time. Everyone was very interested in DePaul basketball. Talk about the highs of that time for you in the mid-'80s.
It was really a lot of fun. I mean, the year before the two wins we got in the tournament, we were struggling, barely snuck in. And the fans were kind of on us a little bit, and the kids felt a lot of pressure.
And this was a year or so after
my second year,
right.
And we weren't playing very well, and I could feel the pressure. That was probably the most fun I had in coaching because of the fact that it seemed like it was going underneath, and then all of a sudden we won two games we weren't supposed to beat Virginia, ACC champ, beat Oklahoma. And then the next year we were really good. I mean, I thought that year we had a chance to go to the Final Four. We were a legitimate team, won two games, although, like you say, the St. John's game.
Oh, that was so interesting.
Yeah,
we
were down five, and they're shooting a free throw with 45 seconds to go, and we ended up winning in overtime. And you know who missed the shot for St. John's that could have won it for him in regulation? Mark Jackson.
Oh, interesting.
Mark Jackson from St. John's had the shot, and obviously coach and commentator,
right.
And he had the shot that could have been.
When you see him on the circuit, do you remind him of that?
He's still a little bigger than me. I think I'll refrain from it. You know, I actually have never addressed Bill Weddington, who does the Bulls stuff.
Right.
I get on him a little bit because he played for St. John's and we beat him. So, but we had that was fun. Those 2 years were the most. But you know what? I remember a lot of the players: David Booth, Stephen Howard, those guys. You know, I go, you know, because I was associated with the program for so long, there's a lot of memories of some really good people, good players.
What's your relationship like with the kids? I mean, to be a coach, it's one thing to do the X's and O's and draw them up, but you're a college coach. I mean, these kids are 18, 19, 20 years old. This is before the explosion of players doing one and done where they leave when they're 18 and they move on. What was your relationship like with players, and what has it been after the fact?
Well, you know, players are spoiled most of the time coming out. You recruit the heck out of them, tell them how good they are, and then you get them and you tell them, boy, you stink. You know, you can't do this. You can't do that. You know, you got to work on this. And they're like, coach, I thought I was the best thing since sliced bread. What happened? You know, so there's always some friction with that. But I enjoy it. I mean, it's individual. Some players you get along with better than others. Some you have a better relationship.
Do you have that problem? You had that problem as a coach where they were so recruited, highly recruited, they thought their game was the greatest, and you'd be like, you have to work on this, and they would reject that?
Well, now some of them get offended and that. Now, the guy that was tough on him sometimes, my dad could really get on him. And they're like, ooh, this is different than I remember that grandfatherly nice guy that used to smile in my family when we did that home visit. Ooh, he's a competitor. So it was a little different. I was a little more analytical than he was, and I enjoyed the X and O's more than he did. But you always have different relationship. And when I moved out of Chicago and coached a lot in the D League and bounced around a little bit, you lose a lot. Now, I think because Coach stayed in Chicago and his personality had probably more, well, how many people did he know? He knew everybody. And the thing that amazed me, he remembered everybody. He never passed that gene on to his son, as I can never I can't remember names like he used to.
Well, let's go to the fast forward to the mid 90s, 1997, I think it is when you're fired from DePaul basketball. A very tumultuous time here. There was, you know, you came off one of the worst seasons in DePaul history. 3-23, I think it was. They kind of right away were like, I remember this. They were like, well, I think we're going to keep the coach. And then a couple days or weeks later, they're like, no, we're not. And there was a press conference. There's just a lot of chaos around the experience. What do you remember about the end of your run at DePaul?
Too much. I wish I could forget it. You know, you could point to a lot of things. You know, relationship with public league coaches, national TV, ESPN rise, Michael Jordan. There were a lot of things going on. And the one thing I've learned in this, you could get really negative. I could say this or that. All you do is sound like a crybaby. So I've really tried to take the high road. It didn't work out. A lot of coaches don't last 13 years.
Yeah, right.
A lot of coaches don't go to 8 NCAAs or whatever it was and NITs. So I try very hard to look back at the successes. Say you have a couple bad years. They wanted to move on. I needed to move on. And so, you know, I did. But obviously you remember a lot of things, and it hurts. I mean, a lot of coaches will say, well, everybody gets fired. But not everybody spends 30 years at a school. And you say 30 years, but I was raised there. I mean, Ray Meyer was a coach when I was born. So, I mean, it was always that. So it was a little harder on me. It was a little harder on my family. I think my family still, it's very hard. And the other thing is people get let go, but you don't read about it in the back page
right.
of the paper or hear it on the radio.
Or have every column about your tenure and things like
that. Yeah, so it's a little bit harder. But, you know, I'm fine. It's in the past. I've moved on. I've had some success in the developmental lead, enjoy doing that and enjoy doing what I'm doing now.
Well, I mean, and not to dwell on it, but there was this sort of feel, and the press kind of played it this way, that it was the end of the Meyer family's run at DePaul, that it was almost like a divorce. The idea that DePaul basketball wanted to move on and sort of, you know, keep the Meyer family in the past. Is that how you see it?
Well, I don't know what their philosophy is. You know, I have my opinions, but, you know, as I say, I'm taking the high road on everything. There's no need to say this guy said this or that guy said that. It's like espionage, you know. I could be a politician
you
now.
Could be.
I think I'm running for office tomorrow. Well, I shouldn't say that. There's a few politicians that aren't so diplomatic nowadays. But, you know, it just they have theirs. They wanted to move on. You know, it was time. You know, it just wasn't working out.
One of the things you mentioned, you know, just in the circumstances and the things that were happening, the recipe to the lead up to what happened was your relationship with the public league coaches. One thing that really has been well documented is the idea that several sort of local talent had decided not to play locally. They, you know, it seems like the pipeline to Duke, to Kentucky, to Memphis with Derrick Rose, wherever different coaches have come in and laid claim to the public league superstars in training. What do you think about that? I mean, at some point, you know, you talked about the relationship with the public league coaches because there was this sort of summit that was put together. There was this idea that you really needed those players to come to DePaul.
Well, there's a lot of factors involved. You think about it now. Try to get a kid out of Chicago right now. Duke's got a pretty good program. You know, Michigan State's got a pretty good program. I mean, they're selling out every game. They're on national TV. They got number one picks.
And they're wanted. I mean, they're
going to the Final Four. That's hard to compete with. So the local schools, you know, now they look at it. And before, you know, it was a thing to stay home. Sometimes it runs in cycles. But it's competitive now as heck. And to get the young man that has the grades, the talent, the personality, there's not as many as you think. And so when that two or three come out, here comes the devolved top program.
And how do you get one of these players to play at a small school like DePaul in 2016?
If they had the answer right now, they'd be at DePaul, obviously. It's a tough competitive thing to do. I'm not sure what it is. I mean, the answer to turning it around for all the Chicago teams is to recruit. I mean, it's get players. I mean, my best years were when I had players, the best players you win with. But it's hard to get players now because it's so competitive. The recruiting game is a tough game.
I mean, are you glad in a certain regard that you're not involved in that game anymore? I mean, you're scouting for the Clippers, but you're not having to be the head coach who flies to someone's living room and says, play for us.
What was the first question that I said was the most obvious? This is the second question that's the most obvious. You know, I was when I first started coaching, that's all I, you know, you start recruiting. And that's what I did for 26 years. When I moved out of it and went to the D League, I was like, I don't have to call anybody tonight. And, you know, those kids don't want to talk to you. I don't have to talk to some 18-year-old that's holding the phone 18 feet from his ear. When is this guy going to shut up? You know what I mean? It's like, oh, this is great. I don't mind the relationships that I have with the players when they come, but to get them to come, the AAU circuit now is really tough to deal with. There's a lot of outside influences. It's just really a competitive business.
Well, you know, the third obvious question is, you know, when you think about your run and obviously doing broadcast now and still doing some regional scout work, do you see yourself getting back into coaching? I mean, one of the things was you've never moved on from DePaul. You didn't move to another school, which a lot of people sort of scratch their head at why, you know, Coach Meyer, with all your success, did move to another D1 team somewhere else and take that program to the tournament. Do you see that in the future?
No, I think I'm through with coaching. You know, when I first came out, I didn't know what I wanted to do. Being fired is a tough thing, you know. I'm like, where do I want to go with this? I interviewed at a couple places, and I backed out because I don't know. I just wasn't ready to jump back in the fire. And then when you're out a while, you know, I said, you know, I think my name, you know, kind of faded from the picture. And the other thing is, when you're 3-23 in your last year, it's not exactly a big resume builder. Now, you could point to all the other things that went on and blah, 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 all that kind of stuff. But I had a couple chances when I first came out, and I just wasn't ready to leave Chicago. My wife wasn't. We just weren't ready to leave. We love Chicago and love being close to our family, and it just weren't ready to do it. And so I just didn't jump get back in the fray, and now maybe as an assistant coach I thought about, but I think I'm too old for all this now. I think I'm in the right spot right now.
For you, you mentioned Chicago. I mean, that was a big thing, and your dad is still, you know, after his passing, we're talking 10 years this year. The Meyer family is synonymous with Chicago, college basketball, but even beyond that, you have this celebrity that everybody knows, Coach Meyer, Coach Joey Meyer. What does that mean to you to be synonymous with Chicago basketball royalty?
Well, I think you're stretching it a little bit when you put my name in there.
No, we're not. I'm not.
Mix.
Pete and I talked about it before the show that we're like, you know, there's a generation that doesn't necessarily remember your dad's teams. You know, I came up, I'm 41 years old, and the teams that I remember, the only successful teams was a couple of University of Illinois teams and DePaul, and all throughout the 80s, and that was under your management.
Well, I mean, to me, Coach Ray, I still call him Coach, and I think I always will. He's just a special human being. I don't know how else to describe it. His personality, I don't know if you could do it nowadays. Because, you know, he had a stretch there. He can go to the tournament for like about 15 years. He'd have been gone, you know. He just had a special personality with people. I mean, it was amazing how he enjoyed. He's the only guy I know. He enjoyed doing interviews. He enjoyed. We used to always kid him, but people come over to talk to him when he was eating dinner. And most of the time, you know, they say, okay, coach, I'm sorry for interrupting. They couldn't get away from him. You know what I mean? They were like, and we'd say, coach, let him go. But he enjoyed people, and he just had a special. He was a unique. And I know he's my dad, and I know I'm a little prejudiced, but he's one of the special coaches that will ever coach. I mean, I don't know if he was the best coach or the best this, but he had to be one of the top people as a coach that ever coached the game.
As I said, I mean, it's been 10 years. When you look back beyond just your relationship or his relationship to Chicago, what do you think of when you think of your dad?
Well, I actually had a chance to give his eulogy, and the biggest point I wanted to make is he had 724 wins, I think it's that, and, you know, did all the Coach of the Year, Final Four and all that. But he really is remembered more as a person than he was as a coach. And I'm not trying to demean how good a coach he was. He obviously was a great coach, but he was just, and I'm kind of stressing this probably too much. People think I'm a little crazy here, but he was just a special human being. He just gave of himself. He never said no to an interview, but he never said no to a charity. He'd be going out all the time. Now, my mom wasn't real happy with that all the time, but he was a special man. And times change, you know, and I don't know if the people on DePaul's campus, you know, they're young. Coach Ray has been gone a while now, and his days are over with, but I think anybody, you know, that's been around a while, a little, maybe 50s, will, you know, I don't think we'll ever forget him.
Why are you back in Chicago? Why did you never leave? I mean, you talked a little bit earlier about with the D-League, you were happy to get out of Chicago for a little bit, but what brought you back?
You know, I coached during the season in Asheville, North Carolina, in Tulsa, in Fort Wayne, but I always came back. You know, it wasn't a 12-month-a-year job. It was a 6-month. My wife is family first, and she's got her family here. Most of my family still here. We're just a very close-knit and like to be around the family. We love Chicago. My son, I always say, kid him about it. He actually worked for the Bulls for 5 years. And if he had to change jobs and move city, I don't know if he could do it. You know, just I don't know if that in the genes of the Meyer genes.
What is it about this town? What keeps you here? Besides the family stuff, what is it about, do you think, that Chicago gives the Meyer family?
Well, it's everything. I mean, we love the sports teams. You know, I got my Blackhawk hat where, you know, my wife went down to the parade. We love going to a game when we can. You know, the Bulls, you know, the Bears. You know, we live on the north side over here, just south of Wrigley Field. So, I mean, we love the sports teams. We love the city. It's just been in our blood. It'd just be very hard. Now, I'm telling you this now. The cold weather is getting to be... I'm sorry, Mayor. The real estate taxes are getting me a little bit now, too.
What we're going to see in the newspaper in the next couple months is Joey Meyer takes new coaching job at Florida Atlantic or something like that, right? You're going to be out of here. Coach Meyer, amazing to meet you, to talk with you for this hour. You mean a lot to fans of Chicago basketball, and thank you for all your contributions and continued contributions as the color commentator for Northwestern basketball, which you can hear here on WGN. Big season. Here comes the Big Ten the slot of games. This is it. This is going to be a fun couple months for Northwestern for sure.
Well, thanks for having me. I enjoyed it, and I'm going to end with, like, I'm a true Northwestern here. Go Cats.
Go Cats. Coach Meyer, good to see you.